We say every day. I should say we say every Shabbos. That we're waiting for you, Hashem. We're waiting so much for you, Hashem. Mosai timloch b'tzir. We say, Mosai, Mosai, ad Mosai. When will you reign in Zion? It seems like a very pashut tefillah. But like everything, there's a chitzonius and there's a pnimius. Chitzonius, it means, when will Hashem reign in the world of Zion? There's a place in Yerushalayim, which is called Zion, which is waiting, just waiting for Hashem to rule over it. Shemagala malchus v'alav. But in pnimius means the Adam. Masai tzunach b'tzion means, when will HaKadosh Baruch Hu rule over me? And the place inside myself, which is called Zion. That the Ish Pnimi is able to look at the whole sugya of Geula. It's not just being appropriate to Klal Yisrael or the whole world. That it begins with me, Bishvili Nivraila. Each person in his world is waiting for his own personal gula. We're just in such a sad state that this is the oimek pshat. This is considered to be the pnimius pshat. Whereas a healthy human, Yiddish neshama, this is the pshat. It's not the oimek pshat, it's not the pnimius. That everything begins with me, not in a selfish way. We say on Friday night, this is our tefillah, karva el nafshi geola. That you, Hashem, you should bring close my own personal geula. And that moment of geula that a person has is what we're going to be reading about right now in this piece in Rivka. How does one achieve that state of karva nafshi geula? How does a person know that he's achieved that state? What should it be like? What does it mean to have a personal geula? How would I know the simanim of that? So this is an Oris HaKodesh Chedek Aleph on the Kufayin Beis. Where he writes, Kol zman sha'odam murchachu l'chako yisla zmanim mosai tacho l'lav ruchaytzir. That as long as a person is murchach to be waiting for the times that he'll feel, that he says mosai, if he's in a state of mosai, when will I experience that Ruach HaYetzirah? Va'oz yichadesh, and I'll feel a state of hischadshus. Yisbonin, I'll have new depth. Yegev yashir, that I'll have machshavos, that I'll be able to sing to Hashem. As long as a person is in that mode where he's waiting for that to happen, that's his simen that he has not yet experienced the awakening of his neshama. As he goes on to explain, Hanashama harehi shara tamid. The neshama is always in a state of song. Oiz v'ched v'hilavasha. With strength, with the light, this is the levush of the neshama. Noyam elyon husayva vaysa. There's a certain serenity which surrounds the neshama. And this is underlined for a reason. V'adan tzarech lehisremeim ad lidei ha-goyvel shapagishas nishmas. Person needs to elevate himself to the point, to that state on high where he meets his neshama. It's an amazing line. We spend so much time in our lives forging relationships that we don't even know who we are. We should say Shalom Aleichem to ourselves. Shel hakaras mitzadeha haruchim. To know the spiritual steps of the neshama. Mesek nafeha hamaleim hoyt kachshe kadashim. In its poetic way, the rustling, I have to look up what that word meant, of the wings which are filled with Kodesh Kacha. Via Tomid Muchan Lahakshiv Said Siach Kacha. That he should be in a state where he's always ready to listen to the soft secret, to the soft holy secrets of what his neshama was whispering in his spiritual ears. Then he'll know that at a time, not outside of any time, that in a constant state, the neshama is always being mechadesh more chachma, more thought, more shira, more siach kodesh. There's a steady, constant flow of what he calls nachalei dvash and chema. Just delicious, delicious life. Experience after experience. It's not a dull moment in the life of a person who has met his neshama. You find that with... I'm sure we all know people like this. There are some people who are able to just take it easy, to relax, to chill, to just to appreciate life moments. And there's some people that every single second they have to be enjoying some type of pleasure in life. And those are the people, by the way, who are really, that if they get motivated, if their buttons get pushed, they know how to roll. And they don't stop searching. These are the types of people that every single moment they're looking for pleasure. And what they're really looking for is that neshama. What's amazing about the experience of the neshama is that even if a neshama is not doing anything, it's just looking out the window on an airplane, 24-hour flight. It's just bliss. It's just an amazing, every single moment of just pashut dullness. It's just that there's a flow, there's a constant flow of shefa from Hashem. Just goodies, spiritual goodies. But on every single level, on a machshava level, on an emotional level, on a psychological level, it's just being in a state of what he calls noyam savivla. Just, there's just serenity. That he doesn't need anything, doesn't need a tchotchke, doesn't need a phone, certainly doesn't need that. Doesn't even need a safer in his hand. Because everything is just flowing through. That a person doesn't feel pressured, he doesn't feel like he's wasting the moment. Just to exist in a state like this is gewaldic life. V'nahara hashay tefes mimena harei heim heim otzos kodesh. And these rivers of light, which are flowing through, they're otzos of kodesh. The treasures of kedusha ma'ayonos bina utzfuno sechel tov. It's just kedusha. There's new insights into life, into Torah, into myself, into the people around me, into life circumstances. Chadashim lavakarim rabba munasecha. And I think that this phrase, and the Sfarim say about Rav Kook, that whenever he quoted psukim from Tanakh in his shtiklach, he always meant, it wasn't just the b'chadi, it was that it was supposed to touch up everything he meant. And the first two words is clear. Chadashim lavakarim means that there's always a new hischadshus. But even the words Rabba Munasecha means with tremendous emunah Hashem does this. And I think this is really gevaldik. That you and I, we're all neshamas. Every single Jew is a neshama. And although we have not yet come to that place where we've met our neshamas, and even if we have and we feel this experience, it's something which never ends, it's mamash endless. It's taking place whether or not we were there or not. Which means to say that although I may not be right now holding by my neshama is singing, and it's learning, and it's enjoying, and it's thinking. All these things are taking place on a level within me, even though the me right now, which I'm experiencing, is not in touch with that at all. But you know why? Because Rav Emunasecha, because Hashem has such emuna in me that I'm going to get to that place. And it could be at any second, and that's why it's happening now. Because the neshama doesn't look at its clock and it's like, listen, Reuven, you have a really long time to go. You're 2 years away. Let's just put everything on hold. I don't have to be flooring like this. It doesn't work that way. The neshama knows how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in it. And believes in the inner me and the outer me. That they're going to come together. So the neshama says, I can't stop for a second. You know why? Because Hashem is expecting this of me all the time. And any moment it can happen. Just like we know that every single second we wait for Mashiach, b'chol yom shiyavo, the same is true with each person's personal geula. It could happen at any moment. Why? Who knows why? There's no reason why. It could be because of a schus that your grandfather, great-great-grandfather, had thousands of years ago. And that was being saved right now for you at this time and at this place. We don't know the chishbonus of Hashem, but the neshama knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tremendous emuna in us on every level of us. So for that it doesn't stop for a moment. We find this emuna down this whole concept before we continue weiter. The whole inyan that the neshama is in constant simcha, is in constant state of chayim, is always singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mafurish pasuk which we said for 8 days not too long ago. Mizmor Shir Chanukah HaSabayis LeDavid, where David HaMelech concludes, Rashi says, this refers to the neshama. Because the neshama is inherently covered. It doesn't stop singing. This is the makor the Gemara brings where we know to say the Megillah twice. One at night and one in the morning. Because Purim is a day is the revelation of the Neshama. And in fact, this whole kapitel is talking about, the Medrash says, about Purim. It's also talking about Chanukah. Which is why we say it for 8 days of Chanukah. Which is also not a coincidence because Purim and Chanukah are inseparable. Netzach and Hod, you know what that means. The neshama is in a constant state. Lamani zamer chavoy, that the neshama sings v'lo yidom, and it never is silent. It's actually very Purimdik. As the tzaddikim taich, that Mordechai in his relationship with Esther, it says vayihi oymen es hadasa. And the Mefarshim explained, "Vayihi Oymin is a lashon emuna. Oymin es hadasa means that he had trust in her. that he believed in her. But more importantly, he caused her to believe in herself. Otherwise, where did she get this tremendous strength that in the home of Ahasuerus, in the biggest tumas, she would be able to survive, to thrive, to bring a geula for Klal Yisrael, to put her life on the line? She was locked in the palace for years. But she had a good chinuch, because Mordechai told her every day, I believe in you. Even if he didn't tell her, she knew that. And she believed in herself. And she knew who she was, and she never lost her identity. Nafshi b'sheilasi. Her whole concern was that she should know herself, she should understand herself, she shouldn't lose sight of who she is. And you know what? Ahasuerus tried everything in his power to confuse her, to make her his wife, to make her the queen of Persia. And you know, the Chazal say her name wasn't Esther, her name was Hadassah. It's really not clear what's what. But Pashupshat, her name was Hadassah. And that's exactly what it's saying here. It says, Vayihi omines Hadassah. He taught her and he ingrained within her that no matter where you go in life, you'll always be a Jew and you'll always be Hadassah. And even though everybody called her Esther and called her Esther and Esther, and even that name, Esther, sticks. Just like Moshe sticks. Even though that was the name that Basia gave him. That wasn't the name that Yocheved gave him. His name was Tuvia. But he ingrained within her, you're Hadassah, and no matter where you go, this is who you are. That's a Hadassah means like a tree. Hadassah is a type of a plant, a type of a flower. The teva of a flower is to grow. And what Chazal are telling us, what Mordechai and Esther are telling us in the Megillah, is that because Mordechai had such faith in her, she was growing and constantly growing. No matter where she would be rooted, she was still growing. Because she knew who she was. And she didn't get lost in the new names and in how princesses dress and how they eat. And in the palace, everything was chitzonis to her. She was still Esther, the daughter, the wife, whatever it is, of Mordechai. That was her reality. I'm a Yid, I'm a Neshama. Have it in this week's parasha also. Last week's parasha / this week's parasha, we have Yosef. So Yosef is sent down to Mitzrayim. Nobody guessed in a million years that he'd be able to maintain his kedusha there. It's mamash identical to Esther in the house of Ahasuerus. And in fact, he never loses sight of his connection to Yaakov. He never forgets where he comes from and the emuna that Yaakov has in him. Which is why in the biggest, most difficult nisayon of his life with Eishes Potiphar, Chazal say that he sees the face of Yaakov in the window. Whether that's literal or not, I don't know. But what it means is that he didn't lose his connection to where he comes from. To the faith that Yaakov had in him. And even when he went all the way down to the bottom and then went rose up to the top, and Paro says to him, Ani Paro, which Chazal say in the Medrash here, that Ani Paro was his way of putting down Yosef. And he said, I'm the only Ani around here. And for you, your name is no longer Yosef. Your name is Tzofnas Paneach. tried to destroy his identity. Which is why that moment of Geula, when the brothers come, only two words, Ani Yosef, I didn't lose or forget who I am. Ha'oid Avichai, I never forgot our father. Not Satnas Paneach. Not the king of Mitzrayim. It's not who I am. I'm the same guy in the house of Yaakov. Just as you sent me down, I'm still that same person. Why? Because he knew of the faith that Yaakov had in him. Even though he wasn't wearing the Ketonis Pasim anymore, he didn't need to wear it. It was all just a Simen Ba'alma to him. It didn't give him special kochos. And even if it did, that's tofel to the fact that it reminded him constantly of who he was. He didn't need to be wearing the Ketonis Pasim to be Yosef, to be special, to be chavif to Yaakov, that he knew that Yaakov believed in him and his mission in this world. Vaviv Shamar es Hadavar. And Chazal say in the Medrash in this week's parasha that in the same way that Yosef says Ani Yosef, and he brought Geula for himself and for his brothers, so too Hashem will say just two words, Ani Hashem, and that will be Geula for the whole world. And it's not a coincidence that Ani Yosef is the Geula. Because if a person says Ani Yosef, that means he's been paigish his neshama. He knows what it means to say Shalom Aleichem to himself. That Yosef spent his whole life looking inward. What's my mission in life? These are the dreams which he dreamed about, his purpose in this world. That he knew that he had a neshama which wouldn't just affect his own personal life, which is what he was looking to get to, but that didn't matter. He can affect the whole world. Because he believed in what he had inside of himself. And that's what Ani Yosef means. That he came to the point of self-identification, that he knew exactly who he was. And when a person knows who he is, he's not flattered or enticed by any of the chitzonis of the world. That's all just a distraction to pull a person out of himself. Whereas a person's real halich in life is to go within himself. So therefore it doesn't matter whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laaretz. It doesn't matter whether you're in Lander College or in the Mir in Eretz Yisrael. Not that they're the Havdil, you know. That wasn't I. Could be the Bahamas, it makes no difference. And that's what the Zohar Kodesh teaches, the very first pasuk in Lech Lecha, as does the Mir Shiloach. Lech Lecha, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha, go to yourself. It says, Leich legarmach, go inside yourself. That the Iker Halich of an Adam is to go within. And that was just after Avram was Kohen his neshama. But this is juxtaposed to that which it says that he went into the Orkastim and he went into the fire when he came out of fire, which means that he was Kohen his neshama at that time. And as soon as he gets his neshama from Urkasim, Hashem says, the first words is, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha. Now that you have a neshama, you don't need to wander this world anymore. It's not about where you are, it's about to how much you go in yourself. And when you go in yourself, your neshama will tell you exactly where to go. And what you need to do. Yosef wasn't a fool. He knew he needed to go down to Mitzrayim. That's exactly where he wanted to go. He knew he wanted to make tikkunim in the farthest places from Kavod Shemayim. Didn't have to be this way. But when he opened up the window of that caravan, such a thing, and he saw he was in Mitzrayim, he said, Baruch Hashem, that's exactly where I wanted to go. This is my mission in life. Lech lecha, to go within. But that's why it's called the halicha. Halicha means midarka ledarga. This is the ikir derech of an adam. Like we just had. We had 8 days to teach us this lesson. The Ner of Chanukah. What is this Ner after all? We could say the Ner means a million things, but to an Ish Pnimi, the Ner is the Neshama. It's me. Me. Just like on Yom Kippur, there's an Inyan that a person lights what's called a Ner Neshama. We're not knowing like that really, but take a look at the Ramah, in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, to light a Ner Neshama. And tzaddikim, even simple people, it was very common in those days that they would try to understand from the Ner Neshama if it would blow out in the middle of Yom Kippur. People would be very scared. It wasn't a good simon. But there's a Ner which represents me. And Chanukah is really just a hemshech of that Ner of Yom Kippur. It's the chasima from the chasima. And the inyan of a Ner being Mosif HaHolech means that this is the Tev of a Ner, that it's always moving forward. That the halicha of Alech Lecha is a halicha which is always being Mosif, which is the Bechin of Yosef. That the Ani Yosef, the real Ani is somebody who's Mosif. But Mosif where? Where is he walking to? He's walking more inside of himself. To that place of Lamani Zamecha Chava V'Layida, which is why Chanukah, which is its capital, Mizmashir Chanukah, Sabaisa David. That the whole inyan of Chanukah is nikva of lahodus lahala. That in the same way that a neshama, that a ner is constantly jumping and yearning and singing in a silent way to Hashem, so is the tev of the neshama. Even al pipimius, we've spoken about this many times, that the Arizal writes that a person should be machavin when he says lahadlik ner Chanukah to Rashi Tevas nacha. And the Ari says that there's really two nachals taking place here. One which goes milamalu lamata, which is called noitze chesel alafim, and another nachal which goes from bottom up, which is called nafshenu chiksa lashem, which represents the yearning. But these two nachalim are also marumas in this Rav Kook, where he says, nahare nachali dvash v'chema. That a person who's neshamadik, there's nachalim which are flowing through him. That's why when you say the halak ner Chanukah and you're talking about yourself, you all of a sudden have to have a connection with these nechalim which are taking place. You identify yourself as a neshama and then you open up your eyes to these new worlds. There's nechalim from up coming down and from down going up. It's a totally different reality that a person like this is seeing. Like we have by Yaakov Avinu that he spent 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. And then he came to the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash and he fell asleep. And the Pasuk says that the Malachim were Olim v'yordim bo, and the Mefarshim say, Chazal say, bo means on Yaakov himself. There's a Nachal of Malachim. Malachim going up, Malachim going down. On himself. He is the ladder. Because he came to that point where he fell asleep after 14 years of Asmada Rabbah. That he finally met his Neshama. It wasn't easy. But this was Yaakov's personal geula at that time. Just before he was about to go down to the house of Esau, he had his geula. So therefore, it didn't matter whether he was in the house of Lavan or in the house of Esav. His father's house, all of that didn't make a difference. To an Ish Neshama, the place where he is actually is secondary to the inner space inside of himself, which is the space of the Neshama, which is the Oz V'Cher V'Bimkomo. In that place, it's just a good place to be. So many times people mistake quiet people, pessimistic people, for being quiet people, shy people, people who are inner people, that they're searching and they're going in. They're listening to a lot. They're taking in a lot. There's a lot going on. It just gets too loud when you have to deal with everybody else also. Like you know about the Mittler Rebbe. Not Mamash Shaykh to this, but it is. Then when he would sit down to give a mimer, before he would start, the room was Mamish quiet. You can hear a pin drop. People would go, shah, shah. Nobody's saying anything. He had to silence his thoughts in order to get on a mimer. There were so many thoughts which were streaming through him, so many nechalim. Their waves were crashing. They were so loud. The inner world was so loud. He couldn't get out of mimer. Let's continue. B'histaklis pnimis b'imkei haneshama ra'im. When a person looks inside of himself, in the depths of his neshama, he sees. Sha'koyach ha'poyel ha'tzadi v'yishalachayim ha'mitim ha'yonim einenu posik mi'avodosu aftereg. That secret of life, that emes tekachayim on high, which is poyel within him constantly, never stops for a moment, hu ratzo v'shov, it's racing back and forth, kemare ha'bazak, like lightning. He's like a malach. That the neshama is a malach even higher than a malach. Shira v'zimra tamid hu potzeach. He's bursting with shira and zimra always. V'gilas v'ranein misbar kvaitkel. So really, for a person to be in a state of like what David HaMelech says, ani tefila, that he was marbe in tefila so much that he became a chefza shel tefila. That's what it means, ani tefila. It wasn't this like David HaMelech was going around with a Tehillim everywhere, and you can always see that his lips were moving, and everybody was like, oh, check it out, David HaMelech is always davening. Nobody saw David HaMelech's Shira. David HaMelech was a very private person, extremely private. Even Shmuel HaNavi, when he came to anoint to crown David as king, he looked at him and he says, who is this guy? He looks more like an Asaph to me than a Tzaddik. Nobody could see. Because David HaMelech didn't need his mouth to sing Shir. He was connected with his neshama, and the neshama sings Shir on a different plane altogether. So you can have one person that he's sitting in front of Tehillim all day. You have another guy, you never see him once in front of a Tehillim, but his Shiras are much louder and much more constant. Why? Because he's Davik to his neshama. And in that place of neshama, he just feels the Shira which is going on. Doesn't have to articulate anything. That's the Iker Shira that a Yid sings to Kadosh Baruch Hu from the place of the Neshama. And what we have from Tehillim is just that which David was able to extrapolate, to put into words of how the Neshama sings. If I could put the Neshama into words, this is what it's saying. This is Shirei Neshama. That's where the words of David HaMelech and Tehillim, President King Lachar write his own Tehillim. Doesn't need David HaMelech's Tehillim. But if I had to put into words my Shira to Hashem, this would be what the Seichel has to say. But what the Neshama has to say, only somebody like David, who is so connected to his Neshama, was able to put onto paper what it is the Neshama is saying. It's a totally different world that come. Totally different places. Nochum on the sixth parasha. You have the Ani Yosef. The Yosef knows who he is. And that's his moment of Geula for him and for many others. But even at the beginning of the Parsha, by Yigash Elav Yehuda, that Yehuda approaches Yosef. In fact, that Tzadikim, what does it mean, by Yigash Elav Yehuda? He was standing in front of him. Where was he going? So the simple pshat you could say is that he was standing amongst the brothers. But Yigash Elav Yehuda means that he took a step forward, and now it was Yehuda and Yosef one-on-one. But Rav Bunim doesn't touch like that. Rav Bunim zakt, and Vayigash Elav Yehuda means Yehuda went inside of himself. Because it doesn't say Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Vayigash Yehuda lifna Yosef. It just says Vayigash Elav Yehuda, which means that he went in front of Yehuda. That even Yehuda at this point, he understands Ani Yehuda. And Yosef understands Ani Yosef. This is the moment of Geula for Yehuda, and the moment of Geula for Yosef, and the moment of Geula for all the brothers. Because Yehuda before this came to such a point of such Shvira that he says to Hashem, Manoy meladoni, ma'adaber ma'nitzdadok. Which Chazal say, this was a tefillah to Hashem. He wasn't talking to Yosef here. That he had such hachna, he had such anava, he so did not comprehend the mystery. The ways of Hashem were so far from him. You can imagine what's going on over here. The Binyamin, which is the only one who did not participate in Mechiras Yosef, of which they knew that's why they were in Mitzrayim altogether, that he was the one who was now going to be taken captive by Yosef. How can you explain that? That of all the brothers, that they were all guilty on some level, Binyamin, who was the only one who was lucky, he was the one who Yehuda had just condemned to death? But he came to a point where it was so far from him to understand the mystery of how Hashem works, that he had no hasag of Hashem at all. Such a place of hachno and ayin and bittul lifnei Hashem. That's the place where he davened, which is by Yigash Elav Yehuda, which is what Rav Bunim says, that when a person davens, he has to go within himself. And from that place within himself, where it comes from the Shema, that emes of Yehuda. That's the place where a person davens from. Like the Rav Naftali Rav Shitzer said, that when a Jew goes to the mikveh before davening, makes the hachana for davening, he says that the mikveh doesn't do anything unless the person first comes to a place of shvira salev in front of Hashem. That's the real mikveh. What's really matayah the Jew is his hachana and his anava before Hashem, his bittul lifnei Hashem. Then the mikveh is poil something. Just a different perspective. It's just that when a person sees his life revolving around his neshama, how close I am to that place of neshama, that I really know how to identify myself when I say ani. That I don't say ani unless I really have a connection to that real ani. It's a different existence, Pasha. Kshemitma'etes hayamuna hakavira bo'etzim haniyatzmi. These are very powerful words. When a person's own emuna in himself is weak, when it should be strong, shel bal ha neshama halyona, to what it means that I have a neshama on high, az yelech tayranis, then he goes dejected. This is not a halicha. For whom is shtaymen, and he's desolate. Ve'imo kol ha'olam kulo ziva mismayin. And with him, the whole world around him is dark. That if a person is becoming neshamadik, then he lights up and his whole world lights up. But if he's not, then the world around him is dark. It's not a good place to be. Why should it be? People are not depressed nowadays. They're not suffering from depression. They're suffering from a lack of neshama. That's the real diagnosis of a Jew. That he has this neshama that he knows that Hashem believes inside of himself, that he knows that Hashem believes so much in. And this is the purpose of his creation, and he has nothing to do with it. Of course it's a dark world. The neshama is a ner, it's supposed to light up a person's life. But if a person is not moving towards that ner, and fakert, if he's walking away from it, of course he's going to be upset. Of course he's not going to feel good inside. Even if he has $1,000,000,000,000, it's not going to do anything. It'll just make it more difficult, because then he's more sucked into the chitzonis of the world. And on top of that, we're going to people who don't even know the first thing about this. And these are the people we're supposed to help you in. They could just kind of smooth it over. It doesn't get to the real issue. Because every physical issue is based on an emotional issue, which is based on a psychological issue, which is based on a spiritual issue. Those are the worlds. Asiya, which is the physical world. Yetzira, which is the emotional world. There's the Bria, which is the mental, psychological world. And there's Atzilus, which is the spiritual world. And they're all levushim for the spiritual world. So they find the tzaddikim that they have no physical life whatsoever. These are the people who are happy. Because where it counts in the pnimius of who they are, in that world of Atzilus, in that world of the spiritual world, which is the real Ani, which is where the real Ani lies, it's good there. The neshama is in a state of happiness all the time. It's lacking nothing. It's a piece of Hashem. It's close to Hashem at all times. It's constantly singing. It's just we're facing the wrong way. We're facing outward. We're not facing inward. And he calls this tshuva al yona. When a person does tshuva like this, and the glory of emuna with all of its great kochos, which are constantly pounding on him in his heart, every single time that the heart beats, it's a plea from the neshama to come close to me. And he turns that way, and then his spirit will awaken. And he'll flow, he'll shine. V'chol ha'olam in kulam. All the worlds will. Not just his world. All the worlds. Asher l'raglav tocho v'imo mishalchim yimalu zevidahar. They go with him. So we have the ability as a neshama, which is a piece of Hashem, to light up all the worlds. We push the buttons. And if we don't push the buttons, you can imagine the depression. Not just the sadness. The feeling of just missing out. And we don't know where that comes from. It comes from a very deep place, which Cook is revealing to us. Such a beautiful piece. If Cook was one of these people also, that Hashem gave him this chus to be able to write, he was this person that the Nechalim were flowing, that he had this. He had to work so hard to put things on paper, but it flowed for him. He says, I don't write, my hand goes. And he was able to transcribe messages of the neshama onto paper. Anybody who reads the words of Rav Kook, who has this little shemetz of neshama, can see that this is like, it's not human words. Every single word of Rav Kook is like a song. It's not even poetry, it's much higher than that. Poetry doesn't do justice to the words of Rav Kook. That the neshama expresses itself on paper. I want to conclude with one maisa. One of the great tzaddikim a couple hundred years ago was a Tzvi Hirsch HaKohen from Imenov. It's a lot to say about Tzvi Hirsch. how he became a Talmud of Menachem Melech from Rimanov. And after the Ptir of Menachem Melech from Rimanov, he was Mamala Makoim. And he was considered to be the Tzaddik Adar at a time where there were many Tzaddiki Adar. The V'chaim said about him, he says that really every single gadol who became a gadol, who became a tzaddik, did so b'derech haTorah. Like by Yaakov Avinu, there were amal and Torah, because there were amal and Torah l'shma, there was zeichet to be anshei neshama, to be tzaddikim. With the exception of two people, Ratzvi Hirsch from Rimanov and Reb Zusha. He says that they became gadolim with axes in their hands. He says that they used their kochos to knock down doors in Shemayim to be able to become tzaddikim. And if you take a look at the stories of Ratzvi Hirsch and Reb Zusha, the way that they learned Torah, that their whole approach in Avodas Hashem, you see a very different picture than the conventional tzaddikim. We don't have time to get into it. Because of that, Ratzvi Hirsch was somewhat... people didn't understand his godless. And this is one of those stories which expresses that. There was a big tzaddik of Yehuda Tzvi from Razla. He was the son-in-law and also the nephew of the Ateres Tzvi from Zidichov. He had a very close yedidus with the Imre Esh. They would visit each other back and forth. They had tremendous respect for each other. So once the Imre Esh asked Rabbi Yehuda Tzvi, he said to him, "Mi heima hagadolim b'Poland? Who are the giants in Poland?" So he said to him, "Rav Tzvi Hirsch from Rimanov is the gadol hadar." So the Imre Esh was very confused. And he said, "But the Velt says about him, he doesn't know how to learn." So Rav Yehuda Tzvi said back to him, and he was a big guy in this Rav Yehuda Tzvi. And that's the reason why the Imre Esh respected him so much. He said, "Are you forgetting Mefarshei Gemara Psachim? The Gemara says, La'olam yimkor adam komashi yeshla v'yisavas tamid chacham, that a person should sell everything which he has so that his daughter should marry a Talmud Chacham. And if he doesn't find a Talmud Chacham, he should marry the daughter of the Gedolei Hador." So Rashi says here, what does it mean, Gedolei Hador? Anshei Maisa v'tzadikim. You see, Gedolei Hador is what's called Anshei Maisa v'tzadikim. So if Yehuda Tzvi said about this, "I made it to you that there is nobody in Poland who's a Baal Maisa like Rav Tzvi from Rimanov." Short while later, they were apparently in a city called Sabrenitz. Rav Tzvi Rimanov from Hirsch, Rav Tzvi Hirsch from Rimanov was passing through this town. And the Imre Esh heard of this, and he invited him in, and he treated with tremendous respect. After all, Rav Yehuda Tzvi praised him as being the tzaddik of Poland, and he showed him tremendous affection, and he put him into his private room, and he started schmoozing, and he said to him, "Rimanov Rebbe, says they say about you that you're a Baal Ruach HaKodesh." This avakasha. Chazal say that from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there's no more Ruach HaKodesh in Israel. How can you be about Ruach HaKodesh if there's no Ruach HaKodesh anymore? Chazal say there's no Ruach HaKodesh anymore. Now, you must obviously realize that he wasn't only about Ruach HaKodesh in the time. In fact, Imre Esh himself was about Ruach HaKodesh. But of course, he wanted to test him. He was testing him. So this is what Rav Tzvi said back to him. He says, "Pele aleichem Rav Meungvar." He says, I can't believe you. Were the eyes of man created to see Gashmias? Did Hashem create eyes and ears to hear and to see Gashmias? He says the Bria was created for man to see godliness, and to hear heavenly callings. That's called Ruach HaKodesh. The only reason why we don't do these things is because of the chet of Adam HaRishon and because of our own personal chatoyim. We can't see, we can't hear properly. But if a person is purifies his neshama and his eyes and his ears, as Ramayah said, immediately he's able to hear and to see these things again. And it says, he says he was so misboiled from this teretz. So, Vosak the Rebbe, what is he saying? What he's saying is that a Jew does not need to be a Baal Ruach HaKodesh to be able to do what he's supposed to do in the world. This is Pasha Maisim Choyom in the neshama. Every single moment the neshama is singing, dancing, hearing, listening, saying, seeing in a different dimension, kimat. So therefore a person's role is not to become a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. That wasn't the way. Tzaddikim didn't aspire for madrigas like this. What they were looking for was to be neshamas. To be who I am. And when a Jew is who he is, then he has everything. Doesn't need to make eyes. He has eyes. Doesn't need to make ears. He already has them. It's just they're dirty. They need to be cleaned up a little bit. This person needs to do tshuva. Like Rav Kook is describing, the person needs to return to himself. And as he goes down that path and he starts to brush away all the things which are blocking it and he cleans it up, then it shines. Then he's there and then he's that. Then that's me. That's called Ani Yosef. That's called Ani Yehuda. That's called Ani Hashem. When a person is and he acts in a way exactly the way he was created. That just like it's normal for a spider to spin a web, and it's normal for a beaver to make a dam, and it's normal for a bird to fly. It's normal for a yid to be a Baal Madriga. It's just the way a yid is. That's the way in the neshama. It's a chelek al kamima. Just we have a ways to get there. Because of the chataim which we have, and even the chataim which preceded us, where we participated in a different lifetime. But this is the neshama. That's what we learn from these parashas. When we speak about geula, there's no geula other than karvel nafshi geula. And when we speak to an ish pnimi about what he's waiting for his own personal geula. And then from that personal geula, the whole world can have geula. Mashiach can only bring geula to the whole world because he himself was nigal first. It's a matter of looking inward, believing in ourselves, and believing that Hashem believes in me, and knowing that what awaits me is already taking place. It's an existence which is a higher existence, and if a person dedicates himself to that, that he has a true ratzon, like all the tzaddikim say, that if a person has a ratzon, be'emes, be'emes, there's no minyas. That every minyas is not a minyas. That's really what we need, to be more over the ratzon. The belief in ourselves and a world around us which tries to make us forget who we really are. Doesn't want us to be called by our Hebrew name, wants us to be called by our secular name. I don't mean that in a spiritual way. We should be so looking outside at everything around us and not looking within ourselves. This is mamish what Gullus America really is. More, but it revolves around this. Hashem should help us to give us that strength, and it comes from having chaverim tovim, having rebbeim tovim, from being in a good environment and a good sviva, to be surrounding ourselves with chaver who think this way, and be machazik each other in these things, and knowing that these things are awaiting me. That when I learn Torah is to get there, and when I daven is to get there, and when I do chesed is to get there, and when I eat is to get there. The person who lives his life with this destination, that he knows that the destination goes with him wherever he goes, that it's within himself, And it's a world which Rav Kook is describing. Who can read this piece and not want to be there? Hashem should just help us that we should have that ratzon. We should be moisav ha'olich in that ratzon. We have to get closer and closer to that destination. We should see taka, that Hashem should say loud and clear, and we should be able to hear with these ears and see with these eyes, that when Hashem says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem your God, we'll know exactly who we are. It should be soon. We'll be Eskoyel Tzedek, and we have a minute. Amen. Shabbos Hashem.
Masai.